Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, it's a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza, of course, for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Andrew Catalan going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. He was supposed to be calling a game this weekend in Buffalo. That game is now moved to Detroit, so it'll be Browns and Bills, hopefully Sunday, 1 o'clock in Detroit, and I hope everyone is okay in Buffalo with the 3 to 6 feet of snow that you did get. And then at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports will stop by to continue our NFL picks battle. Before we get into the disgraceful, disgusting, horrible effort last night by the Green Bay Packers, Hickey, I'm very proud of myself a minute into the show because my voice this entire week has been awful. It has been terrible. I've been losing my voice, and for some reason, I keep on taking more and more work onto my plate of when it comes to being a diligent, good company guy. Someone had to miss one of their podcasts this week inside Odyssey. The boss goes, Zach, would you like to fill in? All right, you want me to fill in, boss? I'll do the person's podcast, big football podcast, with Andrew Filippone on Odyssey. Then this weekend, I do, obviously, Eye on Football Sunday from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. One of the co-hosts on WFAN for the football preview show in New York that hosts and previews around the entire league of games is out sick, so I have to then fill in. They asked me to fill in from 9 to 11:30 a.m. So I keep on taking on more and more and more work, Hickey. I am the antithesis of an NBA player. There is no load management with me. And the fact that I was able to yell what has become a staple of our Friday show, the Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, I thought my voice was going to go a little bit. I saw some concern from you, but I thought we found a way to muscle through it, and I'm happy.
I am, to be honest, very surprised you got through. There's a little crack, which is not surprising, but with how your voice has been, I was shocked you even attempted it.
Little Sean McDonough voice crack, nothing wrong with that.
No, I think it's good. It always shows some emotion. I like a good voice crack.
I love a good voice crack when you get a nice touchdown on a play-by-play call. If you give me a little bit of a voice crack, touchdown! I think that is just unbelievable. Anyway, let's hammer the Packers right out of the gate. But first, I need to say I'm sorry. Because I thought this Green Bay team going into the year was a top three team in the NFC. I thought they were the third best team in the NFC. I did not look at them necessarily as strong as the Bucs, as strong as the Rams. And so far, the Bucs are probably going to be the only team out of that trio of grouping of teams that ends up making the playoffs. And it's not like the Bucs have been great. It's just because the Bucs play in this putrid NFC South. But the Rams stink, and Green Bay, after getting a little bit of hope coming on from behind and beating up on the Dallas Cowboys when they were down 14 last week. We told you last night they need to have laser focus from the start. They needed to send a statement. They needed to be desperate. And you're going up against a Tennessee team that was all banged up. Short week. They're on the road coming to your house. It doesn't matter if they win or lose this game, because Tennessee's easily going to win the AFC South because that division is garbage. And the Green Bay Packers had no life, no urgency. Their defense right out of the gate was the Tennessee Titans just basically was a hot knife through butter through that Swiss cheese defense with the opening drive. Ryan Tannehill, even when he was trying to give them the game and get them back in the game with that interception, that was the one mistake he made. But for the other part, he was really damn good in the contest. And that was a lethargic effort, is the best way to say it, for the Green Bay Packers. And I want the blame to start getting pointed and the finger to start getting pointed at Aaron Rodgers. Because there's been moments through the last decade where Rodgers skates free. And we all know he's a great quarterback. We all know he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. We all know he's a Super Bowl champion. And there's been some valid excuses. Not getting him a legit number two wide receiver to complement Davante Adams the last few years, and I know Adams is no longer there. Defensively, there's been some years where the defense has just been brutal. There's been times where there's been crucial special teams errors. But the last 2 years, and I feel like I'm a broken record player with how many times I've said this on the show, and I feel like I'm in the minority and maybe it's starting to turn into the majority, or I believe that's the case. Aaron Rodgers' last 2 years has been a big reason why in the playoffs, even though he's had back-to-back MVP regular seasons, why the team has come up short. Because in that Tampa Bay game, the defense got a bunch of turnovers against Tom Brady in the second half. And there were two times he had the ball down five, three and out, three and out. There were multiple times in that NFC title game against Tampa Bay 2 years ago where his offense stalled in the red zone or he made the wrong decision. And last year, you had one lousy touchdown drive against the 49ers in the divisional round early in the game. And then late in the game, you got greedy. You locked in on Davante Adams when you had Alan Lazard wide open, crossing over the middle of the field. And last night, Rodgers was bad. The one silver lining is he's starting to develop that chemistry with Christian Watson. As we've seen Christian Watson explode for five touchdowns in his last two games. But you look, for the most part, there was a throw late in that game. Hickey and I were watching the game here together at the studio after the show, where we both looked at each other and we said, that was a high throw from Rodgers when he had Alan Lazard open. So Aaron Rodgers right now is not playing good football. Now you could say, Zach, he doesn't have a real number one wide receiver. Well, he took $50 million. And I'm not faulting a man for taking $50 million a year. Who would I be to say, oh yeah, don't take $50 million a year, because if I was offered that money, I'd take it in a second. You should get every penny that you're deserved. But with that being said, there's some players that you may lose in that process. And they could have brought back Davante Adams. They offered Davante Adams a better deal than the Raiders did. But with all the circus kind of acts that were playing out with Rodgers the last 2 years, the attention was not allowed to be put on Davante Adams first and foremost. And I really do believe Davante Adams grew impatient, grew frustrated, and eventually said, I'm not going back to the Packers. I'm going to end up jump ships and go to Las Vegas Raiders. And it hasn't worked out for him in terms of on the field. But Green Bay has been a rough watch this year. Because you look at the Packers, they were a team, when I saw their over-under, I remember we had Ariel Epstein in studio, a betting expert. She does a great job for Yahoo. And she joined us, and I said, what am I missing here, Ariel? Like, I look at their over-under, it's 10.5 this year. They're going to be an 11-win team. They're going to regress. Yeah, they were 13-13-13 back-to-back-to-back winning seasons. You know, all 13 wins. And they lose Davante Adams. I'm not expecting it to be a walk in the park. But when you're in a division with the Bears and the Lions, you would think that the Packers could still find the way with Aaron Rodgers to get to double digits. And we've seen some franchise quarterbacks, and I'm not saying this is an individual sport because it's not. You need a team to win. But we've seen some of the great quarterbacks find a way to prevent the ship from sinking or even, dare I say it, win, and win at a big rate with less. We've seen that through the history of this league. And this year, if the Packers didn't win the Super Bowl, I'm not killing the Packers. But the Packers not making the playoffs, that was inconceivable to me before the start of the season, especially when you look how the season's played out, it's wide open. Granted, the Vikings have been a lot better than what people thought. I thought they'd be a playoff team. I didn't think they'd be sitting here at 8-1. So this is a Packers team that what makes this really ugly is there were excuses, there were outs for them, but it's inexcusable, and there's no good explanation why this team is going to miss the playoffs. And the quarterback has to take some of the blame. And the rest of the way, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how the Packers are going to approach the reps and the play time of Aaron Rodgers. It's week 11 right now. With that being said, I don't think he's in danger of getting benched next week or the week after that. Maybe the final 2 weeks of the season, but I would hope Aaron Rodgers goes to Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. And they already extended Rodgers. I think Rodgers is coming back next year. I don't think he's getting traded. I don't think, you know, maybe there's a chance he retires, but I would be a little bit surprised by that. Not shocked, but a little bit surprised. But if I'm a Packers fan, I don't want to see Rodgers quit. You're 4-7. You're not going to make the playoffs. I don't want to see you quit, though. If they come to you and say, we want to play Jordan Love to see what we have in Jordan Love, I would say no. That's sending a bad message to the locker room. I got to be the leader. I got to be the guy next year. And also, I got to build chemistry with the people on this roster because I don't know who's going to be back next year, but whoever is back from this group, I need them to be in spots X, Y, and Z next year so this doesn't repeat and history doesn't repeat itself of what is going to be a wasted season of Green Bay Packers football. So, Hickey, this is a disaster of a year for the Green Bay Packers, and that's probably being polite in saying that, but I now think, and I don't know if it's time to have the conversation right now. I don't think he's going to get benched right now. But I wonder when the Packers maybe start to contemplate getting Jordan Love some reps. Because it was Aaron Rodgers a few weeks ago who said, the guys that make the same mistakes, it's time to cut their reps. When Rodgers said that, I think that was directed at his wide receivers. But Aaron Rodgers has not played great since then. You saw the horrible performance against Detroit. And last night, I don't care if you're the biggest Rodgers apologist in the world, he did not play well in the football game last night.
He was awful. I mean, you can make the argument, look, the Lions
Ryan
game
Tannehill
three picks,
him.
But last night was really bad. Open throws, like you mentioned. We were sitting there watching guys wide open on third down. He's missing by 5 yards. Something you've never really seen from Aaron Rodgers, you know, in his career ever.
He looked lost, too.
He did. He looked frustrated. He looked uncomfortable. He looked out of whack. And it's like, if you're the Packers, this is the perfect time to bench him at this point.
So I'll circle back to that in just a second. But I want to get back to the first part of what you said. You said he looked lost and he looked frustrated. I did not get the sense last night that he didn't care, which in a weird way, and that's setting an extremely low bar, I'm happy at least showed some emotion last night that you could tell he was annoyed. You could tell he was PO'd because there are some times when you watch Aaron Rodgers where you go, is this guy even fully invested? Like, does he even care? And I'm not saying that he's not always fully invested. There's a lot of work that goes into this sport. I'm not a dummy. But there are some times where he just like, shrugs his shoulders, whatever. Last night, you could tell he was livid. And really, for the first time, I think it all started to click for him that he has no answers in fixing this team this year. And now he can't even help right now because his play was not good in the game last night.
Outside of really a good second quarter and a good fourth quarter against the Cowboys last week, this has been the offense for the entirety of the year. And you're right. It's like you try different things. You talk about cutting reps. You talk about getting new guys in. We talk about running the ball first, passing the ball first. They have tried almost everything, whether it's personnel-wise,
and they've had no consistency.
And you're right. There's no consistency and there's no real change in results. This offense can't score touchdowns. They can't get on the same page. It's week 11. Like, I don't want to hear about young or inexperienced receivers not being on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, whether it's on them, whether it's on him, whether it's on both. You can't have these mistakes that keep happening in week one popping up in week 11.
So there's 6 weeks left. You said you would start Jordan Love next week in
next
Philadelphia?
Week. Yes.
Really?
It's a perfect time. You have a little extra bye week, you know, a little extra time now with the long weekend to get him ready.
Well, let me ask you this. How are you phrasing this? Rodgers is benched? That's how you're phrasing it?
Rodgers is on IR, shut down for the season, thumb injury.
What happens if he doesn't want to play along? What happens if he says, my thumb is fine? I know his thumb has been bothering him, but if he thinks he could play through it, then that turns into a really contentious relationship.
Well,
because I would hope and I would think with the way that Rodgers looked like he cared last night, he would have some pride. I'm not telling you he's going to start every game the rest of the year, but I would be very surprised if Jordan Love starting next weekend, unless they use the injury cop-out card. I honestly don't think there's a chance Jordan Love starts until that Minnesota game in week 17. That would be, I think, the earliest where you could start to use that injury excuse.
Why wait, though? They're 4-7. The season's over. Like, what do you have to gain by playing Aaron Rodgers, let's say, another three games?
You would agree the last 2 weeks he started to develop a little bit of a chemistry with Christian Watson, right?
A little bit, yeah, in terms of getting
five touchdowns.
Not much else outside of that, but yeah.
That's why I'm playing him. With the young receivers that you have, I don't know when Romeo Doubs comes back, but whenever these young guys come back, they're going to be part of this team next year. You're going to have to add someone, but I need those reps. That's important. And I think you send a bad message. Like, we talk about tanking from time to time. And there's sometimes when you tank, it could send a really bad vibe and a really bad message and lessons to the people in that locker room because the team is basically waving the white flag and admitting defeat. If you go to Jordan Love, I get it. You're playing him to see what you have. But that says you're giving up on the season. And I then really think Matt LaFleur, who's an overrated coach, that locker room then could really go to you know what, if Rodgers isn't playing next week.
Couldn't you make the argument it's sending a good message that, hey, we are taking actual accountability here. If you're not playing, you're not playing. Like, I mean, I think it's easy to say last night was who's the most to blame for the loss last night?
It does, though, hurt the team by not playing Rodgers. Even though he's not played well, Jordan Love, no one out. If he was that great, you would have teams. And if teams think he could be great, you'd have teams lining up to trade for this guy. There was only one team that was going to draft this guy in the first round. I think that you're really walking a really difficult tightrope there. And I then think that could maybe set you back even for next year. Because then who knows? Maybe Rodgers never does get locked in again. This team gave up on me. This team doesn't want to win anymore. And then I'm just back next year because I'm under contract. I don't like that approach. I don't like that mentality. The only reason I say the last two games of the season is then maybe you could use the injury the last two games of the season. Right now, when everyone would be calling BS on that, I think that would be really weak. I want to see Rodgers care. I want to see Rodgers develop some chemistry with these youngsters. And we'll see if he could do that. I would be really surprised if Jordan Love is starting next week for the Green Bay Packers. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I guess we could open up that to you, 855-212-4CBS. Should the Packers bench Aaron Rodgers and start Jordan Love next week? I say no. Hickey says yes. What say you? We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets as well. And when we come on back on this big Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, we got to get on the other side of this game. The Titans, once again, another big performance. Tennessee exceeding expectations. Where do we rank them in the pecking order of teams in the AFC?
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So last night, I was hanging out here at the station probably till about 12:30, right after midnight a.m. Eastern, as I had to do a football podcast for our parent company, Odyssey, and Hickey was filling in for Amy Lawrence on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So before the show, we do a lot of work. During the show, we do a lot of work. And then after the show, we do a lot of work. So I had the privilege last night, as I was waiting to air this podcast that does not tape until right after the Thursday night game, to watch in an adjacent studio Thursday night football with Hot Take Hickey, and we had a good time, some good show bonding, watching the games. Hickey has his computer up. He's diligently typing notes and all that stuff, really has a nice little method to his madness on preparing his craft to get on the air and spew all the hot takes that he does. And the thing I loved about it the most is I know how much you hate the Titans, but during the game, you had an intense look on your face. And it was just filled with pain and just, you were furious, you were upset, and you kept on just looking at me. And you kept on saying, it was like every other 9 to 12 minutes, you know, in that range, man, Tennessee's good. Man, Tennessee's good. Damn, this is a good football team, Tennessee. Hickey. It sounds like you're starting to be pretty impressed with this Tennessee Titans football team.
Here's the thing. Yesterday was interesting because it was, in a weird way, a little bit cathartic. In terms of Tennessee, like the Colts, are not teams that are talked about nationally a lot with a lot of respect for winning recently because they don't, if they make the playoffs, which is rare for the Colts, but, you know.
Well, the Titans and Colts aren't even comparable.
But the thing is that we don't really view them as a legitimate Super Bowl threat because of Ryan Tannehill, so there's not a lot of talking about the Titans because their quarterback is really not one you believe in. So yesterday, when it's on the national stage, everyone's like watching the Titans just dismantle the Packers in a weird, small way. It almost felt kind of good because this is what I've been experiencing the last like 4 years. Oh, just the Titans doing the things where they are a less talented team than most teams they play. They still find a way to win, and they just bludgeon you. They don't beat themselves. And now everyone's like, oh, wow, Mike Vrabel's a great coach. And just like, it's nice to see at least like
hold on, all my suffering
everyone else understands.
I said it before the start of the year, and I got some blowback for this, so some significant pushback. I said before the season started that Mike Vrabel was a top five coach in the league. And I didn't think that was this big, bad, bold take. The guy was the reigning coach of the year. The guy just was the number one overall seed when he lost his best player in Derrick Henry since October 31st. And a lot of people were like, you put Mike Vrabel in the top five? I had him at number four. Going into the year, I had him as the fourth best coach in football. And you are seeing it once again. And I may even go as far to say, I may be more impressed with the team this year than last year, even though they were the number one overall seed last year and lost Derrick Henry. Because going into this year, there was such a negative vibe around this football team. Like last year, I expected them to win the division. This year, and you know me, I hate the Colts, but I thought your football team was going to win the division. Tennessee, to lose A.J. Brown, to have the deficiencies of Ryan Tannehill and being just a guy but not the guy, and all the injuries they've had to deal with, heck, they put Malik Willis out in Kansas City a few weeks ago, and they almost won the game. The game had to go to overtime. Kansas City had to come from behind. What Tennessee's doing this year, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I don't think they are a great team. I think they're a very good team and in a big spot. Week in and week out, I do not expect Ryan Tannehill to show up. Can he go on a game or two run? Sure. But this team's not going to be the number one overall seed. And I don't think they're going to be able to win three games come postseason time. But they're not a team that you want to see because they are a tough team and they could beat anyone on any given Sunday because of their coach, and they really take on the identity of their football coach, and they are a tough, and I mean one tough football team.
And that's why when you look around for the lack of talent they have, whether it's Derrick Henry for the last half of the season last year, no A.J. Brown this year, still win, that doesn't matter. No coach gets more out of the roster, more juice for the squeeze than Mike Vrabel with a team that, again, is consistently undermanned for most, like every playoff game they've played since 2019. I don't think you could say they're the more talented team. Maybe the Patriots of 2019, because, you know, that team was flawed outside of Tom Brady. Other than that, like the Ravens, the Chiefs, they played the
Bengals
Ravens
last
again,
year.
The Bengals, like they are the less talented team in almost every single game they play. And, well, I mean, look, I know they're losing record 2-3, but they still, you know, either keep it close or making the playoffs. It's something, it's Mike Vrabel's done a hell of a job. Hell of a job.
Where do they fall in your AFC pecking order? If I give you, I'll give you the team. You tell me if you take Tennessee or them. Miami. Dolphins sitting in at 7-3. Do you go Miami? You take Tennessee.
I still feel better about the Dolphins.
Okay, I would agree. Buffalo or Tennessee?
Bills.
Yeah, Bills killed them 41-7 before the year started. Ravens.
Inconsistent, but I'd still take the Ravens. Close.
I would agree. Bengals.
Same thing, Bengals.
Really? I would trust Tennessee more than the Bengals right now because I don't know when Chase is coming back. I know it's supposed to be soon. And that offensive line scares me. Kansas City.
Chiefs.
Okay. Chargers.
Titans.
So basically, you'd have them as six in the AFC. You put, I'm assuming like you're not taking the Jets or the Patriots.
No, I take the Titans.
Yeah, that's what I would think. So you have the Dolphins better than them. I would agree with that. You have the Ravens better than them. I agree with that. You have the Bengals. I don't. Then you have the Chiefs. I agree. Right? Did I miss anyone?
So Bengals, Dolphins, Bills.
So for me, they're five, and for you, they're six.
It's the same thing every year. Like they are a great regular season team. I think there's can't hide that. Like Ryan Tannehill somehow is the third winningest quarterback in the NFL since he took over Week 7 of 2019.
But he doesn't fear you. That team fears you if you have to play them in the playoffs because they're tough. But he doesn't fear you.
See it in all sports, right? You have teams that are really good in the regular season, come postseason time, you can't buy in because of their style of play or not having the elite guy, whatever sport it is. That's the Titans for the NFL.
And not only that, last night in a game where he played as good as he could, Ryan Tannehill played a good game last night, but when that game got somewhat close, I think it was like a 10-point game when he threw that interception late, it was a bad throw. And it opened up the door for the Packers to at least make the game interesting, but the Packers had just no desire to make that game interesting last night.
Why, when you play a playoff caliber team, most of those teams will capitalize on that play, except the Packers right now are a mess. So they couldn't, you know, make good on that interception. But you're right. That's the one thing you couldn't do in that situation. Up by 10, momentum's on your side.
It was a bad
throw.
In the
fourth quarter, just finish the game, and he just gave him life.
Their games this year, if you just look at this entire schedule for Tennessee, they're up 13-0 at halftime against the Giants. They lost that game. They then got killed by the Bills 41-7. People forget, they started out 0-2. And early on, our analysis of what we thought Tennessee was going to be looked like it was going to be true, and then they turned it around. They survived against the Raiders. They beat the Colts. They beat the Commanders. They beat the Colts again. They beat the Texans. They lose to the Chiefs in overtime without Tannehill. They beat Denver. They beat Green Bay. So what they're doing is they're beating up on the bad teams. But that's what you got to do. Now, they have a big test coming up this weekend because we talk about that team, Cincinnati. They play Cincinnati. Probably Ja'Marr Chase going to be back for that game. And then after that, Philadelphia. If they split one of those games, like we all know they're winning this division regardless. But you will see them really pick up some momentum maybe and maybe people start to put them more so in the conversation they're being talked about if they could beat a Cincinnati, probably more so Philadelphia because the Eagles right now are sitting in at 8-1.
But then it's like, do people really buy in? Like last year, they had some good wins. They beat the Titans. They beat the Bills last year.
They beat the Chiefs 27-3, right?
Yeah. So it's like they had great, like their resume was really good last year. Then come playoff time, like, you know, we're sitting here as the number one seed and a lot of people are saying, we'll pick another team to go.
When I mean buy in, I mean like they'll take it more seriously.
You're right.
Like, I think this is, I say this all the time. It's not to be disrespectful. They're a good team. They're a very good team. Mike Vrabel gets, maybe is the coach in the league that gets the most out of less. than him. He gets so much out of Luss. With that roster, other than Derrick Henry, I know you got some good defensive players. It's not like there's a loaded roster. Treylon Burks is now starting to become a player. You saw what he did last week. And there were some negative reports about him in the offseason. So I've been impressed with them, but still, there's always that skepticism, fair or not, because the quarterback has some really good moments, can go make a clutch third down throw against the Patriots in a playoff game, could go help win a playoff game in Baltimore when Baltimore's the one seed, but you don't think he's ever going to get to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. And that's why a few years ago when Brady was available at the free agent, on free agency, I was saying they should go make a run for Brady and said they elected to extend Ryan Tannehill. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, talking about Tom Brady, Bruce Arians had a few things to say to JoeBucksFan.com about Tom Brady's future. You don't want to miss that.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Andrew Catalan going to join us coming up 18 minutes from now. He's going to be on the call for Bills and Browns this weekend. That was supposed to be played in Buffalo, but they got 3 to 6 feet of snow. So that game is now going to be played in Detroit. And Hickey, I don't know how the Bills players are going to get to the airport tomorrow. I really don't. I've been following all these stories that the Bills players have been putting out there, and I'm friendly with Deion Dawkins and Tyler Medikevich. I talked to both of them. I see the photos of their backyards. Like, Deion opened up his garage today, and he wanted to try to get his dog out to go to the bathroom. The dog couldn't even get out. It looked like there was a brick wall in front of his garage of just snow.
Von Miller, I mean, the Bills, the picture of the stadium is like, you truly can't tell where the field starts and where the stands are.
It is a winter wonderland. I've never seen a storm like this. A thunder, what do they call it? A
thunder snow. Thunder snow.
Crazy.
You're right. I don't know why they didn't leave
yesterday. I didn't even know that existed. Thunder snow. What was the other thing? The bomb cyclone?
Bomb cyclone. That was, I think, in San Francisco in the last year, Colts 49ers on Sunday Night Football. That's more like rain, I think.
The thunder snow. Sounds real dramatic. I don't get how they're going to get to the airport.
I have no idea.
I guess they're going to, someone from the team's going to come over and plow out like all the players to get them there and shovel them out. They probably hire someone, I would imagine.
And Buffalo's a tight community, so I'm sure a lot of residents have like plows or know someone with a plow. Maybe just listen.
You're going to get a lot of those stories. The neighbor walked over and got Von Miller out of his house so Von could go play for the Bills.
Otherwise, like, honestly, how are you going to drive and forget about just clearing out your own driveway in the streets. Like, it's going to snow until, what, Saturday? If I, like, over 6 feet? Like, as soon as you plow, it's going to be more snow on the top. And you are not going to plow enough to get to the airport.
The only vision I could see is our guy, Deion Dawkins, the snowman, having, like, on a sled with eight dogs. Mush, 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 as they get him right to the gate.
I mean, honestly, get some reindeer out there. Maybe, you know, borrow from Santa a little bit early.
Pretty much, yeah.
Bills players to the airport.
Yeah, you may need some reindeer.
I mean, ho, ho, ho. How, like,
We'll get you to Detroit. Merry Christmas.
Maybe. I don't know. Can Santa, can Rudolph even see through the snow? I don't know.
I don't think.
This is incredible.
We could see Rudolph, obviously, with the nose so bright, but I don't know if Rudolph would be able to fly in the snow like this.
We have to delay the game.
Snow, okay, but a thunder snow? No.
What are the odds we delay the game again and then have it play like Tuesday in Buffalo and have it back in Buffalo once the snow cleared?
Well, they play Thursday for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to move that Thanksgiving game, so you're going to have to play that game on Sunday. I don't know what the travel plans are. The only thing I could say is, remember, this wasn't because of snow, but it's just with all the changes that we had because of the pandemic back in 2020. Remember when the Patriots played the Chiefs and we didn't? That game was moved back and then they flew out. The game was on a Monday or Tuesday. They flew out that morning. Maybe they got to fly. I know the game's at 1 o'clock. And that game was later on in the day, but maybe you move the game time or you fly out early in the morning.
Right, push it back to like 4 o'clock and have them fly out Sunday morning. Like,
the NFL always finds a way, though.
They do. 6 feet of snow is going to pose a logistical nightmare, that is for sure.
There's no doubt about that. That is definitely tough, but you've seen the snowstorm and some of the players' backyards, they're sliding doors and stuff to go into the backyard. The entire window from the bottom up is just covered in snow. You can't even get out.
Why did they leave yesterday? It's like this storm came out of nowhere. You knew it was coming. Now, I know they moved the game yesterday, but don't you have to have plans? Like, all right, move the game. You're going to Detroit tonight.
Yeah, it makes sense. Maybe the only thing is you would have got pushback from players. Maybe they would have said, I understand that, but I'm not leaving my family when there's about to be 3 to 6 feet of snow. And make them fend for themselves. Maybe the organization didn't want to do that to the players.
Maybe. I mean, that's the only logical thought. Like, I don't know if the NFL would truly care about that. Like, trying to get a game
in. Okay, but if your player's saying, I'm not leaving, my family was, they're about to get 3 to 6 feet of snow, then you're kind of screwed. You need those players to get on the plane.
I don't know. I'm just trying to, I don't know. I'm just asking.
That's the only logical explanation I have. Players are just going to say, yeah, I'm not leaving my family right now.
Well, they might not be leaving in general. This is going to be wild.
Yeah, I can't wait to see and hear the stories about how the heck they just get to the actual.
How do you get
airport.
The planes going? Clearing the runways, that's going to be a nightmare too.
Oh, yeah, they'll figure that out. You know, if there is a city to be equipped for this much snow, I'm not saying that you're used to 3 to 6 feet of snow, but it is Buffalo.
It's going to be truly a all hands on deck situation there. To get this team going.
Well, this is why I'm actually disappointed. And I know why the game got moved, because they didn't want to direct the resources to get you ready for a game on Sunday when you need to make sure that people are safe. But I always love those stories when you hear, oh, the fans got tickets, or the fans showed up to the stadium and they brought their shovel and they helped shovel the entire stadium to get the whole stadium ready. I always love those types of stories. That's why I felt like we got robbed of it. I get why they had to move the game, even though I'd rather wish the game was in Buffalo, but they didn't want to have to put more people of need in areas for just the football game.
I'm fascinated to see what that crowd's gonna look like on Sunday.
In Detroit?
Probably pro Browns, you would think.
Yes and no. Like, would it surprise you if there's a good contingency of Bills fans that find a way to get there? I don't know how many people are going to be there. But we're kind of are used to games where, because of what happened in 2020, where there not being a lot of fans there.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be nowhere near a sellout.
It's two, though, passionate fan bases that do usually travel well.
Well, the only issue for I know Buffalo is semi-national in terms of having fans all over the place, but I don't know how anyone in Buffalo is going to be able
They'll
to travel
find
to go to Detroit unless you hang on the back of the Bills plane and just hold on for dear life.
Yeah. All righty, let's get to a little Tom Brady. Bruce Arians. Well, first of all, before we get to the Arians quote, right now, yes or no, is Tom Brady playing football next year? I, before the season, said no way he's going to, because at the time he was still married to Gisele Bündchen, he was going to go join Fox. I think that Brady is going to be playing football next year. Yourself?
I agree.
Is he playing in Tampa?
No.
I would have agreed with you. I'm starting to open up to that idea that he's going to be back in Tampa. Because if I say if he's not in Tampa, the destinations, would you agree, the four or the three potential destinations, Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels, assuming Josh is still there, the Titans with Mike Vrabel if they get rid of Ryan Tannehill, and then I think there's an outside chance, maybe this is more him wanting to go there than the organization wanting him, but the 49ers.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are the three teams I would list right off the bat.
Is there anyone else that you could throw into the conversation? Because I would put Tampa as that other team in that conversation. And I saw that Bruce Arians told JoeBucksFan.com and the great columnist Ira Kaufman, Brady loves it here, Arians told JoeBucksFan.com columnist Ira Kaufman this week. He loves his teammates, his coaches, and the organization. If he decides to play next season, I think it will be in the Buccaneers. Now, you could look at this two ways. One, Bruce Arians is still employed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So what is he going to say? Hey, if Brady plays next year, it's going to be with somewhere else. Or two, you could view that as a genuine response. When you hear that last part, I think it will be with the Buccaneers. How do you kind of unpack that there, Hot Take Iggy?
I still think it's a Bucs employee just kind of, you know, given the company line. Now, look, let's not pretend whether you want to buy it or not. It doesn't seem like Bruce and Tom have the best relationship in the world.
Yeah, but I also read in this article that Arians claims that they still talk for like an hour a week, which if they had this bad relationship, and I do think that there was something to maybe Brady not wanting Bruce back, and at first I wasn't really open to that, but as it did play out, it made more and more sense. But if they really had this really bad relationship, are they still talking up to an hour a week? Like he said, he goes, I don't have as in-depth conversations as when I was the head coach and you have all these meetings with him, but they're still talking to one another, he said, for at least an hour a week. That's a pretty significant amount of time.
Yes and no, because think about like
an hour?
With him, like when Bruce Arians is in the head coach role, like how much are they game planning? Probably a ton, so it's like you're probably talking, you know, 3-4 hours a day.
Okay, but if I'm Brady and I can't stand you, why would I even waste a minute talking to you? You wouldn't.
Well, I wonder also, too, again, how accurate those reports are. I'm not one that was a believer in it. Number two, maybe he's realizing with time, you know, the offense is maybe not as in tune as it used to be with Bruce here. And there's parts
still
where
still values Bruce's opinion.
You kind of sometimes like realize you don't know what you have till it's gone. And it's and not that Bruce is gone. He's still in the organization, but it's different, you know?
So where's Brady playing next year?
Right now, I would probably say, because Josh McDaniels is not going to get fired, I would say Vegas.
So Dana White's going to get him in Las Vegas, and maybe Gronk's going to come out of retirement again.
I think he would like the new scene. It's a new location for him. His guy will probably still be there, although we'll see if Mark Davis can afford to pay Tom Brady. If he can't afford to fire Josh McDaniels,
frugal organization, reportedly.
But I think that's a situation where I think you have Devonta Adams there.
Why would you leave Tampa, though? Their offensive line's been banged up this year. Can't you just reinvest in the offensive line? You get some guys back that were hurt, and you still look around. Chris Godwin's there. Mike Evans is there. Yeah, I don't know if this young tight end turns out to be a player or not. You go tell Jason Leiter you have a good relationship. Go get another weapon out of the, you know, in the offense. Defense is still, it's solid. It's not great, but you have some good players on that defense. Why would you want to leave? If you're going to play, why would you want to go, not that he has to learn a new offense because they're going to run whatever Brady wants, but why would you want to go learn all these new teammates?
Change of scenery again, a little bit extra invigoration, something else to prove.
Division,
you know,
though, is
Brady,
wide open. Brady's
maybe he wants
to
a
prove.
Challenge. Zach.
He's nothing to prove anymore.
He does it, but he still thinks he does.
That I don't think so.
He is out there every day to show you someone, whoever still thinks he's deserving to pick 199, he's still out there
sure,
with a chip on his shoulder
sure.
every day.
And I've said that for years, but I think a lot of that went right out the window when he won without Belichick. Now, and he just led the league at passing and passing yards and passing touchdowns at the age of 44. If you're trying to win another Super Bowl again, I think your best spot is to stay in Tampa. You have control of that organization. They do whatever you want. You know everyone. And personally, the personal side is maybe this plays a factor into it. His kids still live in Florida. Now, I don't think Giselle is packing things up and moving just because Tom is moving. They're divorced now. So if Brady's playing football next year, I would have never said this before the start of the season. I'm starting to think that it's going to be in Tampa, and I agree with what Bruce Arians had to say. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break when we come on back. How are the Bills going to get to Detroit? And we'll do a bunch of NFL storylines on this Football Friday in Week 11, coming off a Packers loss to Tennessee. Andrew Catalano will be on the call for Bills and Browns in Detroit. Going to join us when we return in 5 minutes.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.